Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Hey, welcome to our show in episode 484 as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today her yoga flow. Oh, I can't wait for the show, and neither can you. I know that. Before we begin, just know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, and that's S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, with a really special gift for women, the new award-winning Her Life Stages products. And these provide support all the way from the menstrual years, including PMS, ouch, through perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. It's a fully integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, run on over to your local health food store, check it out at solaray.com, and hey, you can also find it in the big stores like Whole Foods and Sprouts, and also on Amazon. Again, it's Her Life Stages. Listen, you'll be glad you did. All right, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show, because the Her Podcast team is all over it. We love your feedback. Okay, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
Everyone out there knows that I just kind of like yoga. Yoga's kind of cool. You know, I'm a very diversified athlete. I may be a triathlete, but man, I do everything. I do, oh my goodness gracious, Pilates, martial arts, yoga, everything. I just sort of cherry pick what I need. But there's something about yoga that when I wake up in the morning and all the way through the day, you know, sometimes I just sort of strike a pose or two and it just works for me. And well, go figure then. We have a beautiful new book out and it's called Foundational Yoga Flow: Awaken, Deepen, and Soften Your Practice with 90 Poses. Now what really got me going was what the author, Colette Ousley Moynan, has said. What Colette basically, you know, noted was that there are times of the day when you want to be able to use certain poses. You know, I feel like that first thing in the morning. How about that sun salutation? But there's also moon salutation. Bet you didn't know that either. And what goes on during the day? I'm a circadian rhythm person. I love to look at the flow of the hours of the 24 hours of the day. And I found, you know, reading this book and looking at the poses, I really liked the whole idea of sort of flowing throughout the day. So I've asked Colette to come on down, and you know, she is a leading yoga and meditation teacher. And what I love about her is she can teach. You know, not everyone knows how to teach by word and also by example. So come on down, Colette. Welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much.
All right. Why'd you write this book?
Well, I've been teaching yoga almost 15 years, and Weston Carles, who helped with this book, who is the photographer for this book, has actually been working with the publishing company, Human Kinetics, that we worked with in the past. And he had an idea for this book, and we were talking about it and asked if I would be a part of it. And being a writer hadn't really been on my bucket list, but once I was thinking about it, and you know, there was this door open, I knew I just had to walk through. I had to say yes. It was such a fun project to work on. And I think sometimes people are intimidated to walk into a yoga studio or take a class. And so it's my hope that perhaps they'll find this book somewhere along the way and it can demystify the practice of yoga and maybe give them a little more confidence to enter a classroom, start a practice on their own.
Why are people intimidated? Like, where's that coming from?
You know, I think it could be, you know, what I hear a lot from people is, oh, I'm not flexible. I can't do yoga. And I always like to say, well, that's kind of the reason to get into yoga. You know, it's a way to get more flexible, not only physically, but flexible in your mind. It can really help you to kind of change the story that you tell about yourself. That's something I speak to in the intro for this book, is that my story changed about myself and my physical abilities as I started a yoga practice. But I think people are intimidated maybe because they see it as something that you need to already be physically fit or have another sort of athletic practice in order to do yoga. But I don't think that's true. I think yoga is really for everybody.
You know, it reminds me of people who feel like what they have to do is they have to look muscular and fit before they go to a gym. It's like, well, the whole purpose of going to the gym is to get muscular and fit. And it is intimidating. And nowadays, when people are not in great shape, I mean, let's just be honest, the grand majority of people are not fit. When I say that, I mean all the way around, mentally, you know, physically, even spiritually. They're just razzed out, crazed, you know, out of their minds with the craziness and chaos of it all. And I think that we've gotten pretty far away from really being, as it were, in touch with our bodies. You know, it makes me crazy because it starts as young as kindergarten in the grammar school, because they've taken away so much of the recess time, physical activity time, and all the rest of it. So I think that what's really important here is to understand that it starts early. It's not just like when you're 52 and you suddenly, you know, get completely enlightened about the whole thing. So to make it more welcoming, one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of the classes now are taught by people who are not your classic yoga figure. There's like this huge variability in what people look like. And I think that that may be making it a little bit more welcome. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. I think we're seeing a movement more in social media of a diversified group of people that are teaching yoga. And I think that is really important for representation, so that other people can see someone who looks like them and realize that yoga is also accessible for them.
So it's a little bit more inclusive in that regard, just so long as people are moving toward an enhanced sense of well-being. So what I love about the book, I want to kind of like, I'm really selfish. I want to hop right into this thing. It's really neat. I mean, did you really think about like, well, what goes on during the day? And how does somebody really integrate yoga practice throughout the day? Because you start with, for instance, in part one, awaken. And so I assume you mean like, okay, I'm awake now, and now we're up. And warming poses and foundational poses, how did that get organized?
Yeah, well, we were talking about some postures that were a little more accessible, postures that maybe feel a little bit gentler on the body to ease into for the awaken portion of the day. We move into some postures that perhaps take a little more energy and effort for those middle of the day heated poses. And then we have a whole chapter at the end with cooling down, grounding poses into our restorative poses. So the idea is twofold, that you can turn to this book at different times in the day, different energetics that you may be needing. If you're just waking up, you maybe do some of the poses from the Awaken chapter. The other aspect to it is that you could also build your own sequence. You can take the energy of the Awaken poses into the more active poses, into the cooling down poses, and create your own sequence for any time of the day that you want to, but you can then at least have an arch to follow if you choose to make your own class for yourself.
What are some awakening poses? When you say warming pose, why did you say warming? Are you just sort of like, as it were, warming up for the day? Or was it something else?
Yeah, so the warming poses are more of an energetic experience in that your body is starting to require more heat to move through these postures. They are going to also create more heat in your body. They're a little bit more strength-based. So for instance, an awakened posture would be something like a seated posture, maybe a kneeling lunge pose. And then as we move into the heat of the day or the heat of your practice, it would be something more effortful, perhaps like an inversion or an arm balance or a deep back bend, like a wheel pose.
And for someone who's never done yoga before, when they look at the awakened poses, what's the easiest stuff to do? Just to kind of like say, oh, wow, I can do this.
Yeah, I think one of the best things to do is cat and cow. They are two complementary poses that move you through spinal flexion and spinal extension. So it's a great way to warm up not only your spine, but to connect with your core. And it also will find movement and flexibility in your hips and shoulders as well.
I love cat-cow. I do it all the time. You just get on all fours and there's the hissing cat. And then there's the cow that's kind of hanging out in the pasture. And, you know, up goes your back, down goes your back. And I like doing it, not like slow, but just almost really loving every moment of it because the stretch feels so good. So that's cat-cow. What else?
Child's pose is a good one. Child's pose is one that I think a lot of people are familiar with. It's also being from tabletop, you would bring your big toes together, separate your knees, and sit back towards your feet with your arms extended forward. And you can bring your forehead to the floor. You can also use a block or a pillow under your forehead. But it's a nice one to open up and stretch your back.
And, you know, for people as they age, and this is, you know, anyone from their 40s on up, knees are always an issue. How do people modify?
Well, child's pose could actually be done on your back. You can take the same shape lying down. So if you hug your knees towards your chest while you're lying on your back, you can put your big toes together and let your knees widen, and you'll still be creating that same stretch for your back and the openness in your hips.
Oh, how cool is that? Okay. So, and you mentioned modifications, right? All the way through the book. Okay. Because that's like super important for people, as one of the things that's really quite intimidating is watching teachers who can basically turn themselves into pretzels. And then you're sitting there with your little aching, creaking knees and you're like, okay, well, nothing like that to make yourself feel bad. And what time of day? You know, people are always asking me, you know, about fitness and back and forth. So, you know, I say, whatever time of day works for you in terms of your own fitness is the time to do it. So I'm not going to like tell you, you absolutely, you know, it's 7 a.m, your behind's out of bed and you're already in the gym and doing your thing. No, it's got to work for you and your own day. So when it comes to these awakening poses, you know, the warming poses. Is this something where you just sort of hop out of bed and you're into it? Or are you allowing a little bit of, you know, lemon water or something ahead of time? Or in my case, you know, a pot of coffee? No, but just saying, when would you do this yoga?
Yeah, well, that's what's so special about yoga is that you really can do it at any time of the day. I do think, you know, even sitting up in your bed and starting with some stretches, it's a great way to begin. And that is, as long as you're present, you're focusing on what you're feeling, you have that mind-body connection, that's yoga. You don't have to roll out a yoga mat to make it yoga. Same thing when you're getting ready for bed. You get into bed and you want to do a couple stretches before you lie down and go to sleep, you're still going to be doing some yoga. We have sequences in the book that we suggest using if you are looking to energize, you are starting your day. And we also have sequences in the book to use in the evening when you're ready to cool down and relax. And
all right. So in the morning, starting from just in bed to whatever you want to do in the bedroom, you know, when you stand up and whatever, or to something else that sort of works for you. That's cool. What is the timing with eating? Like, is there some magic with yoga and eating? Because I always get this, you know, like nasty look from yoga teachers when you say, well, and I just had a full breakfast. Now I'm going to do yoga. And they're like, So what is the thing that's going on with the timing of eating and doing yoga practice?
I think that's going to be unique to each individual. And I think that, you know, that might be a matter of exploring and trying it out. I wouldn't recommend doing yoga after a very heavy meal. you'll feel a little more sluggish. You'll be a little bit more uncomfortable, especially if you're doing some twists or anything where you're lying down on your belly. That might not feel really great after just eating. But you also don't want to do a lot of activity without having some fuel for your body. So especially with some of the heating poses, the arm balances and things like that, that we offer in the book, I would say you want to make sure you've at least eaten something during the day at that point to have some energy. But again, I think it's really going to be a unique individual experience to get to know what your body feels like with food, without food, through your practice.
Will yoga wake you up a little bit during that funky time at 3 o'clock?
Yes, yoga is a great thing to do when you're feeling that mid-afternoon sluggishness, especially anything where you're getting your breath and body moving. So sun salutations, moon salutations, when you're moving in sync with your breath, that is a great way to feel a little more energized. And it also helps you to feel a little more focused as well.
Right. And get your little behind out of your damn chair. So you get up and do your thing. And, you know, I'm like a nutcase about, you know, people getting up on a routine basis. It's not like you have to, you know, get up, run 3 miles and come back. No, that's not what I'm asking. Now, if you want to, knock yourself out. But what I'm really asking here is, can you just assume the vertical and do something with your body? I love warrior poses. Those really make me kind of, ooh, I feel really good about that. I love a tree pose because I can do it well on one side. I'm telling you right now, it's killing me, you know, and tree pose for you little happy campers out there is when you're standing on one foot and then you have the other foot kind of up near your, it's bent obviously at the knee and it's up at your knee of the standing foot. So you're balancing on one leg. And it's interesting that one leg is just like an oak tree. It's like, I could just be here all day. The other leg, well, it gets to be a little challenging. So what I do is I use that tree pose to strengthen the leg that's not like the oak tree. And I always use that as a challenge. And I really like doing all of that, you know, in the middle of the day. I really find that, well, first of all, I don't need to like run to a gym or, you know, get a bunch of equipment. And I don't have to do any of that. I usually try to keep a mat around, you know, that helps. Although those yoga mats are too thin. You know, I like using my Pilates mat, or I have my gym mat, which is like super thick because, you know, I like a lot more padding. So see what I just did, folks? What I did was I customized for me. What works for me, that's what really counts. And what works for you is something where you put it together. That's why when you look at these 90 lovely poses in the Yoga Flow book, you figure out, you know, it's like shopping. It's like, I want that one and I want that one. There are some that are like a little, you know, I'm not going to be doing that one in the near future because my body parts no longer agree with me. But, you know, seriously, I love that. The one place I have not tried it in a big way, which is surprising to me. So maybe I'll just take this on as my own challenge. And that is the evening. You know, winding down, I either face plant. It's like, you know, my head goes down and I'm gone. I'd like to have a little something, something. And so what is this moon pose? What does that look like?
Yeah, so a moon salutation is similar to a sun salutation in that you're moving through a series of postures and you're linking them with your breath. What differs between a moon salutation and a sun salutation is the energetics behind it, whereas a sun salutation is a lot of big reaching, moving, you know, in a way that's feeling a little more fiery. The moon salutation, you might not move breath by breath. You might stay in a pose for a few breaths before you go to the next one. But the moon salutation, the postures have a lot of curvature. So if we think of the moon kind of being what controls the tides of the oceans, there's a rhythm and a flowing feeling in a moon salutation that's a little bit watery. It's a little more easeful, and it does give you that sense of tapping into your own inner tide and starting to slow things down.
So what does it look like?
Yeah, so it's you start in mountain pose, just like you would in sun salutation, and mount a pose is a standing pose at the front of your mat, your arms by your side. And you would reach up into the sky as you breathe in. You'd exhale, fold forward. And then instead of jumping back like you might do in a sun salutation, you would step back. So it's a little more of a gentle transition to a downward dog. There are some kneeling postures within it. So lunging with one knee on the floor, one foot in front of you. And in those kneeling lunges, you work into a crescent shape in your back. So there's that kind of emulating a wave shape through your spine. And when you move from plank position to the ground, instead of coming halfway down the way you would in a sun salutation, which requires a little more core and upper body strength, you would lower all the way to the ground. So it's a little gentler, a little bit more of an easy transition. And then we stay low to the ground with a cobra pose versus an upward facing dog. Upward facing dog would be in your sun salutation. So similar to a sun salutation, but with more of a gentle feel. The modification is a little bit of the gentler poses.
And recovery. What is the recovery piece of this? Because you hear about recovery yoga all the time, and it sounds more gentle. So tell us about that.
That's what we close our book with, is the restorative poses, which are really gentle poses that are primarily supported or assisted with props like a bolster, which kind of looks like a big pillow, some yoga blocks. Those could be cork or foam blocks, blankets. But restorative poses, you hold for a few minutes and it allows your body to deeply relax into the support of the props. And that helps with muscles releasing tension, but it also helps with resetting your nervous system. It brings you into the parasympathetic nervous system response, rest and digest. Your heart rate slows down. Blood moves into the center body to help promote digestion, boost your immune system, helps with fertility. It's a really soothing practice. So that's what is really special about yoga, is you can customize it to what you need it to be. If you're needing something more energizing, you can do some handstands. If you need something more restorative, you can lie on a bolster or a pillow and really use that as a way to relax.
So relative to sleep, when would you do that to be able to get the best benefit in the evening? Let's just say you've had dinner, you know, you finished dinner by 7 p.m. and you normally go to bed, you know, you're in bed no later than 10. So where does that work?
Yeah, I think, you know, after finishing dinner, you could even move into some restorative poses because it does promote digestion. But if you wanted to wait to do restorative yoga until right before you go to bed, that works too. It is a very soothing, calming practice. I wouldn't recommend doing a more active practice when you're trying to wind down and get ready for bed. So for instance, the poses that are offered in the middle of the book, the warming poses, they're probably better to do in the morning or the middle of the day when you're having that kind of afternoon lull. They might be a little too energizing to do before bed.
Science has shown that after you've had a meal, it doesn't matter if it's dinner or whatever, but after you eat, the best thing you could do is get up and do something, right? The worst thing you could do is just sit there, basically go from the dinner table to a couch. Not a great idea. Because to your point, one of the things you want to be able to do is stimulate your digestive system. But it also helps optimize things like insulin secretion, which allows us to be able to grab all that carbohydrate, whatever you ate. I mean, healthy carbohydrate, you know, vegetables and whatever, and to be able to metabolize it best. So that what you're doing by through movement is you're actually helping optimize that function. I'm like a nutcase about this, you know, when humanly possible, you know, just get up and move. I'm always reminded of the times I go to Europe, especially, you know, in these beautiful older cities. And right after dinner time, I'm watching all the couples and families walk, like along a river or however that works. It really blows my mind. It's like, you know, are they in on something? I don't know. I mean, why are they all walking? And then later on, we figured out, you know, all the great science that went on, you know, with this in a big way. And that is, yeah, I'm sure none of these people were like quoting great scientific studies when they were doing this. They just inherited this great habit for many generations. And plus, you know, what's more beautiful than just, you know, being with people you care about, walking in nature, and then at the same time, oh, by the way, you're optimizing your digestive system's ability to be able to metabolize your food in a very thorough way. So that's so cool, you know, when I think about it. So I'm going to try to do some yoga too, because sometimes I'm frustrated. It's like, oh no, I just quickly scarfed down some midday meal, and yet now they want me for these three more virtual meetings, but I got 10 minutes right now. What can I do? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what's great. You can do a 10-minute sequence in between whatever you have going on and get yourself moving. And the nice thing too about yoga, you know, if you're really in that mind-body connection, it can help you get clear-headed so that you are ready for the next task instead of carrying over what you've already completed.
You keep saying mind-body. Tell us about the mind part.
Sure. So yoga, as we know it in the West, we recognize yoga primarily as a physical practice, which is called the asana or the postures. And yoga really is a practice of mindfulness. So there are so many other aspects to yoga beyond the postures, beyond the physical. And I talk about this a little bit in the intro to the book. But yeah, mindfulness, you know, being really present in the now, that is really what yoga is about. And yoga is from the Sanskrit root word yuj, which means to yoke or to bind. So we're yoking the mind with the body. We're connecting our mind with our body when we're moving in a way that we're staying focused on our breath, focused on the sensations that we're feeling in our body. And this is a great way to help with all of the mental chatter that we carry around with us through the day.
I love that, yoking. That is so cool. I didn't realize that. Yoking the mind and the body. What I have found is that when I could really escape into my yoga practice, that nothing else really comes into my mind. I try to just, first of all, I'm trying to concentrate on not, you know, falling over and making an ass of myself. But on the other hand, I'm also really kind of enjoying a moment away from all the frenetic craziness of day-to-day life. And I really thoroughly cherish that. I relish it. And so I think that that's part of probably what's going on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I think yoga creates a space where we can be in the present moment, and then the things that maybe were feeling so pressing, so stressful just a few moments ago, don't have the same weight when we really give ourselves space to just breathe and to be in an energy of presence.
One of the things science also shows is that the stress hormone, which is called cortisol, decreases to very manageable levels if you are a regular practitioner. There have been some really cool experiments where they've taken a group of people who have never really done yoga before in a big way. So they're, you know, they learn some fundamentals and then they've practiced it somewhat erratically. Maybe they hit it once a week, twice a week, whatever. Then they look at people who are daily practitioners. I mean, they're into it. I don't mean they're spending 9 hours a day. I'm just simply saying that they've got some gig going. It's like an AM, PM thing or, you know, however it works for them. But they're serious about it because it's important to them. Then they measured stress hormone levels over the course of the day. And as we all know, stress hormone follows what we call a sinusoidal wave, which means that, you know, it starts out pretty high in the morning. You thought your alarm clock woke you up. No, 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 no. No, it was actually stress hormone, cortisol, peaking in the morning, and it wakes you up because it hangs out with its best friend, norepinephrine, which is our little friend, adrenaline. All right, so now we're awake. Hello. And then we start doing our day. And then, oh, right around noon or so, it begins to decrease, this curve, meaning that the total level of energy and activation is beginning to come down now. And then it just continues to do that until right around 5 o'clock, when really you're supposed to, I heavy emphasis on you're supposed to start getting prepared to wind down. Yeah, right. Not in our society, but then it just sort of begins to even out again right around the time of sleep. It's this beautiful sinusoidal curve, right? And one of the things they found with yoga practitioners is that they tend to have much closer to a beautiful, normal sinusoidal wave. Whereas people who live the normal American life have chaos. It's chaos. Is it, you know, there's spikes of stress here and there, and it's not showing that nice smoothness. The other thing, too, is that they've found that people who are really stressed out and not really doing yoga on a routine basis also tend to have a burnt out pattern, which means that the wave is flattened and it's low and it's a problem. So that's what we really begin to see. So I always think about that when I'm doing any part of my own yoga practice, because I keep thinking, you know, I want to be able to optimize how I manage my stress in a big way, because that directly impacts on my own health and well-being. And I know you speak to this in the book.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, really interesting what you're saying about the long-term practitioners having a more balanced kind of experience with their cortisol levels. And I believe it makes sense to me. You know, the yoga practice is a great way to, again, connect with your mind and your body. It keeps you mobile. It's really great for flexibility and range of motion in your joints. You connect with your breath. And if you learn how to breathe a little bit more fully, you're bringing in more oxygen and energy into your body. You're utilizing the space of your lungs and your rib cage. It really just has numerous benefits. And those physical benefits transfer over to mental health benefits as well. And, you know, we know that those things are linked.
You know, I got an F minus in the breathing thing. You don't even pay attention to it, you know? You have to have an awareness of your breath. And people always say that, be aware of your breath, you know? And I'm like, what breath? Wait a minute, hold on now. And one of the first ways I really learned how to be able to do that in a big way, ironically, was not with yoga. It was with kettlebell. I'm a kind of a kettlebell queen. When you're doing kettlebell, you have to make very weird noises, you know, right? And in the beginning, I didn't do that and almost blew out my lungs. So I had to learn how to do that so I didn't mess up my own performance. And once I did that, all of a sudden it started transferring over to all the other weightlifting I was doing. And then all the other physical activities, I suddenly realized, wow, there's like a whole rhythm to this. And then when I look at yoga, I started transferring it there, realizing, okay, so there's this very smooth, beautiful breathing thing, and I want to be able to fill my lungs to capacity and really allow myself to enjoy a beautiful breath. And that never occurred to me until I really bumped into yoga in a big way. And then I started putting two and two together. And it's just like, wow, there are a lot of benefits here I didn't fully realize, right? Do you find that people have like a little issue with the breathing thing? Because for a while, you're like sweating out, like, oh my God, where are my legs, where are my arms, where are my knees? And you're like, I'm going to look like an idiot and I'm not sure I'm getting this pose right. Meanwhile, you've got staccato breath. You know, it's like a dog and you don't even know it.
Yeah. You know, I think it can feel intimidating trying to keep your breath in pace with your body. And sometimes that can feel overwhelming to a new practitioner. So I always like to remind people, you're going to breathe. Your body will do that for you. We're always breathing. So don't worry so much about focusing on the breath if that's making you feel even more stressed. You know, the breath will come. But I do think there is a benefit to and as you're comfortable and ready to start paying more attention to the breath, to really utilize your breath within your flow, you know, with the motions and movements that you're taking, whether those are on a yoga mat or in another physical practice or in your daily life, just breathing deeply is really beneficial. You know, I speak to in the book that ancient yogis believed that we were born with a certain allotted number of breaths. So we want to savor them. We want to take our time with those breaths. You know, and if we apply that to modern science, we know that breathing in a short and shallow way can be very taxing on the body. So it certainly makes sense that taking longer, deeper breaths promotes longevity.
And also, when you do those more methodical breaths, you stimulate the parasympathetic system. And when you do that, it quiets things down. And so you've got that rest and digest. I remember that I did that with my breathing when I was on a recent flight across the country. And we, of course, hit turbulence. I mean, I think I must have like a little black cloud over me, but I try not to take it personally. And so there we were over Colorado and all hell was breaking out. And when the pilots go, and I'm going to ask the flight attendants to take their seat. That's never a good thing. Okay. Hold on to your seat. So, you know, I immediately just said, okay, come on now, breathe through this. And I kind of talk my way through it. And then I'm cool. I'm not enjoying jumping all over the sky. But on the other hand, I'm not like crazed and super overly anxious about it either. I'm just sort of literally, in this case, going with the flow. And that's all you can really do. You know, this is such a great book. It's a beautiful book. The pictures in here are lovely, lovely, lovely. And I could really, I think that the way you've taught people all your years as a teacher, you know, are coming through here. I think that this is a great gift for people who really want to understand how to integrate yoga throughout the day, not just like, you know, cram it all into 1 hour in the morning, but a little here, a little there is kind of a little bit more like where I'm coming from with our nutty schedules and the rest of it. And even if our schedules aren't nutty, I still think that taking a moment here and there and doing one or two or three poses is just so healthy and wonderful. And as you age, good Lord, where did our flexibility go? Right out the window. I really think about that too, because it makes me feel so much better. So all I can say is thank you for writing this book, Colette. I really think that the book is absolutely fantastic. And I want everyone out there to know in the Her podcast land that we've been talking to the author of Foundational Yoga Flow. It just came out. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. I'm seeing a whole lot of, I don't know, Santa Fe out there. Lovely desert scenes and back and forth, which are my favorite, needless to say. And I just want you to know that I think you're going to touch a lot of people with this book. So thank you for writing it. And again, it's Foundational Yoga Flow, and the author is Colette Ousley Moynan. And where's the best place to be able to learn about the book and your work?
Well, thank you so much for your kind words, first of all. This book was published by Human Kinetics Publishing. You can find it through their website. It's also available on Amazon and other major book retailers. My website is ColetteOhm.com. And that's a great way to stay in touch with me. I do a lot of classes in Austin, but I also try to teach in other cities when I'm traveling. And I have some YouTube videos as well.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I just can't thank you enough for arming us and getting us literally in the flow of it all. Colette, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, everyone, come on now. Hop on over to iTunes right now. Rate and review this terrific episode. Get into your own yoga flow. I want to hear your feedback. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. And find out more about the award-winning Her Life Stages. run on over to your local health food store. Ask him about it. Go to solaray.com. You'll be glad you did. Now, all I can say is this has just been so amazing. I love these episodes on the Her podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peake, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our Her podcast community. So pop on over to drpeake.com to learn more about my work and social media. And join me every week for another Her podcast where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders just like Colette, as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. So thanks so much, and remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. A little carpe diem for everyone. Have a great one.